Let's just open in a word of prayer as we prepare for today's message. Heavenly Father, we just come to you right now and we offer this service up to you, God. I thank you so much that you can encourage us and be with us in this time in our lives, Father. I just pray that this message touches the hearts of the people that hear it. Bless this service, God. Amen. We're on a series right now titled Empowered. The definition of empowered is to give someone the authority or power to do something. God is the ultimate authority. If God says it, then it's done. Think of God at the beginning of creation. You know, he speaks the world out of darkness and light. This is the amazing authority that God has. The joy of being a follower of Christ is being empowered by the ultimate authority. There are many authorities out there. I think of teachers, politicians, the police, parents, but God is the ultimate authority. Romans chapter 13 verse 1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God." In the end, God, he's going to have the final word. We can be confident because we follow a God of all power and all authority. I love this series at this time because the world is looking for answers. There are so many questions out there. And those who know God and have a relationship with Jesus, we have the answer. Jesus is the answer. Right now, we are not meeting together in a church building. So many people say, "I miss church. When are we going to do church again?" But there is no absence of church because we are the church. We are in a season where we're not meeting together physically, but we are still the church. Church is not a building. Church is not when you wake up on Sunday morning and come to a service, but we are the church. You and me and all the other followers of God, we are his body. I miss meeting together, trust me, as much as anyone else does on a Sunday morning. But this time we have been given apart will help us to appreciate coming together all the more. Coming under one roof is so important, but it is not what defines us as a church. I have experienced the body of God in a powerful way in this time, even though we're not meeting together. Members of the church, they've dropped off little care packages on my doorstep. You get a ring at the door and you go and you look. And it's such a blessing. We had a happy birthday serenade for Everett on his birthday. You know, members of our church came and they sang to him. And it was just beautiful, perfectly on key. And also, you know, I've had several text messages and calls, words of encouragement throughout this time. This is the body. This is our church family. We are here for one another. We have still been generous with our time and with our money, and we're able to put forth a digital service every single week since we have not been meeting together. It's amazing. We should be proud of that. God has empowered us in this time, and we are overcoming this pandemic as a church. Amen? I fully believe after the dust has settled and we come together again as a congregation, we will be stronger, more united, and more thankful. God uses these times, you know, as testing to strengthen us. He refines us. We began 2020. We were saying, this is a year of good things, a year of breakthrough, a year of fruit, blessing, a year of big things. When this pandemic hit, some people may have seen it as a setback or something even worse. I see it as the fulfillment of prophecy. We said big things were going to happen in 2020. Well, a pandemic, a worldwide outbreak that affects everyone is definitely a big thing. And as soon as it hit, I saw opportunity. There's more opportunity in this climate than there has been in the last decade. People are being shook, foundations are being shook, and people are being awakened. It's good to get shaken up sometimes. It's good to get stirred up. It's good to get riled up. If you built your life on the sandy foundation of what the world has to offer, you may be struggling through this time. Your normal routine has totally been rocked and disturbed. You do not feel comfortable. You know, if you have suffered a loss during this time, you may not know how to cope. God is tilling the soil in 2020. God is sifting and shaking, and we will see what remains after this pandemic is over. People have been forced to live a simpler life. Spending more time with your family, not being able to go out as much or escape. I hear all this talk about getting back to normal. Well, what is normal? Is normal being stressed out, having your stomach in knots, feeling the pressure to amass more wealth, climb up the corporate ladder, buy more goods, pressure to maintain this image of success and happiness? Is it normal for a society that is increasingly growing apart, getting lost in social media, that is, there's nothing social about, being in a society where true, authentic relationships are at risk of becoming extinct? Is that normal? Is that normal? If that's normal, then I don't want to be normal. Look at the design God had for us in the Garden of Eden. Maybe that was the planned normal. I pray and I hope that we use the opportunity that this time has brought to return to a new normal, not the old one. I pray a new normal will arise. 2020 is for sure a powerful year of change. COVID-19 has impacted everybody, the entire world. As a church, I pray it will bind us together. I pray our eyes will be open to how God designed us to live in relationship with one another. I pray that our priorities are aligned with those of God. To love God with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. I pray that our perspectives will be changed. I pray that we will be able to stop and smell the roses. Just take a beat, a minute, a pause. I pray for a coming back of building real relationships, going beyond just the surface. I pray that as followers of Jesus, we may be more open, more real, and more loving. As the dust settles and people are left wondering what they can take away from this whole experience, my prayer is that we can change, start a new way of thinking, aligning with what the Bible teaches us. I pray that lost souls would be found, and I pray that the workers would increase and bring in bigger harvest for Jesus. You know, the harvest is ready. I pray that our convictions would be strengthened. Beneath the surface, God is working. Last week, Pastor Doug spoke on the unseen world, that the Spirit works in this world and the Holy Spirit is unseen, but it's real. This virus, COVID-19, is unseen, but it is real. We put so much stock into what we can feel, smell, touch, taste. Yet we cannot do any of these things with the virus. And at the same time, it's impacted so many of us so greatly. Not only can we not see the virus, but there are other unseens that are affecting us at this time. We cannot see the fear that the virus is producing. The fear of getting sick. The fear of our economy crashing. The fear of the church collapsing because we're not meeting together anymore. These fears are unseen. But believe me, they are as real as COVID-19 is. Fortunately, for us as believers, there is an unseen with the power to undo all of these unseens. There's no use in fighting an unseen with the physical world. The greatest weapon we have to fight back is to use the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God's hand in action in this world. It's the conduit which God moves through to accomplish His will through us, through you, through me. Christians talk about this unseen world all the time, right? And we're talking about the Holy Spirit that no one can see. And when we talk about this, the world looks at us like we're crazy. Like we have a screw loose. Like, what are you talking about? Can't exist. It's not there. Well, now the world is dealing with this unseen virus. And even though you cannot see it, it is a reality. We need to fight the spiritual battle using the tools Jesus left behind, which is the Holy Spirit. There's this principle in the Bible. It talks about sowing and reaping. Whatever you plant, that's the type of fruit you're going to grow. If you plant an apple seed, you grow an apple tree. If you plant an orange seed, you grow an orange seed, right? If you plant strawberry seed, you grow strawberries. It's just how it works. We all want the fruits of the Spirit. And these spirits are found in Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In order to have fruits of the Spirit, we need to be planting seeds in the Spirit. These fruits come from the spiritual disciplines. The seeds are like reading your Bible, praying, fasting, worshiping God. If you want good fruit in your life, then you need to sow good seeds. I continually talk about this and share this when I'm preaching because they work. My life is not perfect. I have struggles and hard times. But through these practices, God uses my struggles and He turns them into blessings. God trusts us with a little, and if we are faithful, God will trust us with more. There is joy in the suffering, brothers and sisters. Joy in the suffering. I know this sounds almost impossible, but we serve a God of the impossible. God can grant you peace that surpasses all understanding. We have a tendency of making mountains out of molehills. We look at our problems and we begin to feed them. We focus on them and we continue to talk about them and to share our problems. And before you know it, it's all we can see in front of our face is our problems. Instead, our focus needs to be on the solutions. It's all about perspective. And sometimes it just takes a tiny shift to send you on the right path. You know, sow good spiritual seeds, and you're going to reap good fruits. The opposite is also true. If you are sowing in your heart, soul, and mind a negative seed, then you're going to produce bad fruit. When this whole COVID thing started, you know, I began reading all these articles that came out, and it seemed like every article around that time was all about COVID-19, and they were just sharing all these random stories, and there was so much misinformation out there. And these articles were designed to invoke fear. And I spent so much time reading them that I began spiraling downward into a pit of depression. By reading these articles, I was sowing seeds. And the fruit that these seeds were producing were fear and anxiety. After God showed me what was happening, you know, and used my lovely wife to help me with that, I stopped reading these articles and anything on COVID-19. Instead, I replaced that reading with reading the Bible. It didn't take long for the fear and the anxiety I was feeling to go away. And all of a sudden, I was left with this feeling of hope and joy. And I began to see all the positive things in my life and all the opportunities in this time. That is the power of the Spirit. If you spend your time reading these articles, or you're spending your money on things of the world simply to please yourself, or if you gossip and spread offense, or if you watch the news, please do not watch the news. There's nothing good on it. It's all fake anyways, right? Then if you do these things, the fruit of your life will be hate, depression, conflict, unrest, worry, strife, fear, deceit, and your life will totally spin out of control. All these things are contrary to the fruits of the Spirit. You reap what you sow. And the unseen world is a reality. If you keep looking down at your phone, you know, you're going to fall. You're going to fall flat on your face. The answer is not on your phone. Don't look down at your phone. Instead, look up to God, the creator and maker of all things good. He has the answers. We have opportunities in this time. We have opportunity to speak into our children's lives because we're spending more time with them. We have opportunities to help out our neighbors who may be in need. We have opportunity to show love and to be more generous. This will produce spiritual fruit. You do not need to know it all. Believe me, I don't know it all. I keep getting asked this question. When do I think this thing will be over? When will we be able to return and stop this social distancing? I believe this is the wrong question. God says that He will take care of our tomorrow. We need to just trust and obey God today. We need to be faithful in the moment. It is wise to plan, but do not worry about tomorrow. If you worry about tomorrow, it's not going to add a day to your life. It's not going to do you any good. When we stop trying to pretend like we know it all, that's when God steps in and fills the void. He fills us with His knowledge, which is way better than anything we can come up on our own. We need to leave room for God. In our weakness, He is strong. The last shall be first, and the humble will be exalted and promoted. You know, these things are found in the Scripture. It's all about leaving room for the working of God. God likes us to be empty vessels or blank canvases. He doesn't want us filled already with things like fear and worry. We still have work to do. When Paul and Silas were in prison, they had the right perspective. They worshiped God in their captivity. They were sowing spiritual seeds. The spirit was so contagious. Their obedience invoked God to move in a powerful way. The earth literally shook and their chains fell off. Prison doors flew open. But the part of the story that really strikes me is what happens next. After they are free, Paul and Silas decide to remain in prison after their chains fell off and the doors were open. I don't know about you, but if this is me and I'm sitting in a prison cell and my chains fall off and the doors open, I'm booking it out of there. Like, I'm on the next train to get out of Dodge. I'm not waiting around. But Paul and Silas stay in the prison. Why? It is because they still had work to do. The prison guard, he was about to take his own life because he thought he'd failed. His world was at an end. He didn't have the strength of Jesus inside them like Paul and Silas. Paul and Silas stayed to bring people to Jesus. That is the vision of our church, City Light Church. They stayed, and as a result, the jailer and his entire family came to know Jesus, and they were saved. The world is bigger than us. It's bigger than you. It's bigger than me. The reason we are not lifted in heaven the moment we are saved is because we still have work to do. We remain to share the good news of Jesus to those around us. Sometimes we're called to remain in a place of captivity to help out our fellow men. It might not be great. There are people who need to know that Jesus loves them. They need to know that Jesus can save them. You may be in a place in your life right now that seems unfair. Like, why is this happening to me? Maybe you feel like you're in a prison of sorts. Follow the example of Paul and Silas and praise the Lord with everything you have. Dedicate yourself to that spiritual discipline. And he may ask you to remain even after you have given freedom. Even after you say a way out, and you might have to stay in order to reach a life, in order to save a soul. And that's okay. Because the opportunity to lead someone to Christ, to walk with them, say the sinner's prayer, you know, the opportunity, if you've ever been blessed with the opportunity to do that, to see someone's face change from despair to hope, to see someone's soul opened up right before your very own eyes, as they say those words and give their life to Jesus. If you've been so blessed to experience that, then you know there is no greater joy. There is no greater work that you can be doing. There is still work to do. Every season has its fruits. This is an abundant harvest in 2020. I believe it. I look forward to meeting with all of you. But until that day comes, I wait. I trust in the Lord. You know, we look for opportunities to reach people for Jesus, all the while sowing seeds, spiritual seeds, knowing full well that God is empowering us and producing good fruit. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for this blessing of this message. I pray that it would reach the people that hear it. It would bless their heart, bless their soul, encourage them, lift them up, Father. We need to continue to persevere and do your good work. God, right now, I just want to pray with anyone who hasn't made the decision to follow you. If that's you, you can just say this prayer with me. Dear Father, I know I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I ask you to come live in my heart and make it your home. I dedicate the rest of my life to you and choose to live for you. I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. You said that prayer for the first time. I just invite you to click on that button that says raise a hand, or you can phone the number on the bottom of the screen. If you need prayer for anything, then we sure want you to do that with you at City Light. We want to offer you prayer. Our vision is to reach people for Jesus, and we do that one person at a time. Thank you.